pretty short agenda, so I hope we don't go past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing myself.
Me as well, but just in case.
Is that Tom?
No, last place, Suzanne. Frank Davies.
Okay. But someone said me as well, so I thought it was somebody else, too.
Okay, well, this is Suzanne Lester from the County of Orange. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the County of Orange Public Financing Advisory Committee meeting, and I think we're ready to get started. At this point, I will hand the meeting over to Min Chai, our chairwoman, to get started.
Great. Thank you, Suzanne. Hello, everyone. I'll call this meeting to order. Hope everyone is staying healthy and doing well. Again, this is Min Chai, and today is September 10th, 2020, and calling the meeting at precisely 1:30 in the afternoon. At this time, I'd like to ask our clerk, I believe it's Christine today, to take roll by calling our names, since some of us, including myself, are appearing virtually. And when you hear your name, please reply here for the record.
Min Chai?
Here.
Tom Hammond?
Here.
John Moore?
Here.
Carlos Carney?
Here.
Wallace Rodecker?
Here.
Michelle Aguirre for Frank Kim?
Here.
Sherry Friedenrich?
Present.
And Frank Davies?
Here.
Also on the line, we have consultants from Orrick, Harrington, and Scutcliffe, sorry. Phil Morgan? Are you on the line, Phil?
Here.
Okay, perfect. And
I'm here.
And Feldman, Rollap and Associates, we have Anna Sarabian. Are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, great. Thank you. So I think we have quorum, so we'll proceed with our meeting. Before we begin, I was asked to remind everyone to state their names before they speak so we know who is speaking for the record. Okay, we have somebody else joining.
Hi, this is Carolyn Mee with CEO Budget.
Okay. Hi, Carolyn. Okay, so we have a pretty short agenda today. The first matter is the approval of minutes for the July 9th special meeting. Do we have any comments from the committee?
It's John Moore. I like the idea that they added the tag down below that we can listen to the audio.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Anybody else?
John Moore, I move to approve the minutes.
Perfect. Do I have a second?
Carlos Carney, second.
Okay, so motion by John and seconded by Carlos. So all in favor. So we're going to take a vote to approve the minutes. So Christine, can you please take the vote by calling out the names?
Min Chai?
Aye.
Tom Hammond?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
And Wallace Rodecker?
Aye.
So unanimously approved. So that item has been approved. The second item is to recommend in concept to the Board of Supervisors the proposed issuance of short-term taxable pension obligation bonds to prepay the county's fiscal year 2021-22 pension obligation and the selection of financing professionals. And I believe we have the two consultants on the line to answer any questions.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
Before we get, it's John Moore. Before we get there, I had a question on the attendance. Frank Kim, is Frank no longer attending our meetings?
Well, I'm not sure. Suzanne, are you there to answer that?
Yes, this is Suzanne Lester. Frank Kim is the designated member. Michelle Aguirre, our chief financial officer, is his alternate.
Yeah, and this is Michelle Aguirre.
Frank had a conflict today. He had board briefings in advance of our board meeting next Tuesday, so that's why he was not available for today's meeting.
Okay. I appreciate that because we like to see Frank when we're dealing with some of this stuff.
True. Okay.
And Chairman, when you have a moment, I do have a comment also.
Please, Sherry.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Great job in getting the meeting starting on time, if I might say so. On this item number three, I have a conflict of interest as the county is looking for the treasurer to purchase the deal in a private placement. So I would like to abstain from discussion as a board member or an ex officio non-voting, but I am available as the proposed purchaser for any questions that the committee may have. So with that, I'm stepping down from my board position and going into the audience, but I'm available for any questions. Thank you for letting me provide that.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. So with that, do we have a presentation from staff?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Suzanne Lester, CEO of Public Finance. Today, Public Finance staff is requesting your committee recommend to the Board of Supervisors an approval in concept of the proposed issuance of short-term taxable pension obligation bonds in January 2021 to prepay the county's fiscal year 2021-22 employer pension obligation. We're also requesting the committee recommend the selection of Fieldman Rollapp and Associates as municipal advisor and Orrick Harrington and Sutcliffe as bond counsel and disclosure counsel. There are current contracts in place for both firms. Each year, the Orange County Employee Retirement System Board considers whether they will allow plan sponsors to prepay the annual employer pension obligation. On July 20th of 2020, the OSERS board approved to allow plan sponsors to prepay if paid by mid-January of 2021. And in return for the prepayment would provide an early payment discount of 5.8%. The county treasurer tax collector has agreed to purchase the 2021 bonds as an investment. Placing the bonds with the treasurer reduces issuance costs of the transaction for the county. For example, last year's cost of issuance was about $80,000 versus the last public sale we had in 2016, where we had to pay underwriters as well, was $464,000. Public finance staff would plan to return to your committee at the scheduled PFAC meeting on December 3rd, 2020, with a detailed finance plan, maturity schedule, interest rate estimate, and county budget savings estimate. The board is scheduled to hear this item on September 29th, 2020. And again, we have representatives from Sherry Friedenrich from the Treasurer Tax Collector, representatives from Fieldman Rollapp and Orrick to address additional questions that you might have, as well as myself and county staff. And that concludes my presentation.
Great. Thank you,
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, it's John Moore. I have a question. With the interest rates as low as they are today, I'm happy to see it's 5.8% discount, but don't understand why. Could someone explain that to me? For the last 3 or 4 years, it's been 4.5%.
Yeah, that's a good question.
This is Michelle. Suzanne, I don't know if you wanted to address that or...
Yes.
You can go ahead and I'll jump in as well.
And I can certainly address it, as I said, on OSERS too, if need be.
Right. That's what there's a number of us that could respond. So I know, Sherry, if I want to defer to you, I'll just quickly add something. But Treasurer Tax Collector Friedenrich does sit on the OSERS board. They are the ones that are responsible for making that decision. And they did do the 5.8 rather than the 4.5 that they've been doing the last 2 years. And I know in my conversations with Steve Delaney, the CEO of OSERS this year regarding the change from 4.5 to 5.8, The amortization period for the unfunded liability for OSERS is over a 20-year period. So they're looking long-term. So if we were to look, you know, long-term, the rate of return is above 5.8. So they believe that there was not risk associated with going from the 4.5 to the 5.8. And I'll stop there and then go ahead and let Sherry and Suzanne add anything.
Certainly, this is Sherry Friedenrich, OSERS board member. As you can see in the list, in the attached schedule that Ms. Lester has provided, you can see back in 2014-15, it was 7.25, which correct. Prior to that had always been the assumed discount rate. Then it went down to 5.8, 4.5, and now is back up to 5.8. As Ms. McGeary mentioned, we are looking at a long-term period. The current discount rate is 7% for the OSERS fund. Again, there are a mixture of investments. Certainly the bond investments are not expected to yield that, though I think this last year the U.S. Treasuries actually yielded 8.8% because of all of the changes in it, because of the dropping and if you own them. But our discount rate is 7%, and the board agreed this year to go back to the 5.8%. It really is just a discount. The county is going to basically pay the unfunded amount regardless of whether they get a discount or not. So it's a matter of whether they receive that up front or it's over that long-term period.
This is John Moore. My point on this, Tom Hammond, you recall, I think you and I both were complaining last year that the discount wasn't high enough when we did this last year.
Well, I'm not sure, John, I remember that conversation, but I do understand, in a way, the discount rate is sort of irrelevant. And help me with this, Sherry. If in fact, the pension fund is underfunded, we get hit the next year with an adjustment. So
correct.
So, I mean, it really doesn't matter whether it's 7% or 5% over a period of 10 years. It all comes out to what they need to pay the bills.
Right, and I think the other point that might maybe would help is that obviously when this money comes in all at once, that 7%, again, is the rate that is assumed each year, but it is a long-term rate. So, that, you know, last year at the June 30th, we had a 14.4% rate. We don't know, of course, we're in the middle of this year, what our rate will be at the end of this year. So when you have all those funds coming in at once, certainly if you have a bad day in the market, certainly that's the impact that they're looking at. But they've really coordinated their purchasing so that it does accommodate for this large amount coming in instead of dollar cost averaging, where you'd kind of buy every month, which is what would normally happen if they didn't prepay this. So this puts those dollars into that January time period. But I was pleased to see that they've increased it more closer to the discount rate, because it really is some timing differences, and it is considered a long term, and it does certainly benefit those plan sponsors, which ultimately have to pay it regardless of what the rate that's earned on it, as Tom mentioned, Mr. Hammond mentioned.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Ms. Chai, I have a couple of comments, if I may.
Sure.
And I guess, Michelle, you need to help me with this. The $575 million seems like a big jump from last year. Weren't we in the $300 million range last year for this obligation?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but that doesn't seem right.
Michelle, this is Suzanne Lester and committee. I have those numbers in front of me, and we did have a jump from last year and a jump from the year before. Last year was the discounted prepayment was $498 million, and the year before the discounted prepayment was $430
million. Okay, so that's a good 10% increase over the year anyway, at any rate. The question I have is that I think this is the way people look at municipalities and their pension obligations. What percentage of our budget do these pension obligations take? Is it 10%? I think that's what I heard last year.
This is Michelle. So it's about, of our total $7.5 billion budget, I think it's about 6 or 7%, and it's about a quarter of, or 25% of our total salary and benefit budget, which is about $2 billion.
Okay, is there a rule of thumb in the government business about what's prudent and not prudent? Is over 10% is deemed bad, or under? Is there a rule of thumb that you professionals like to pay attention to?
This is Michelle. So obviously we would like to keep it as low as possible, right? Because then it provides funding for other things. But is there a specific percentage that I'm looking for? No. Regarding the increased cost of our annual required contribution, there was the actuarial evaluation, the triennial, where OSERS modifies the assumptions. That happens every 3 years, and so then we may have a rate increase. And we are still phasing in those changes from when we went to from 7.25% assumed rate of return to 7%. And then our employees, so now our retirees, are also living longer. And then there were the losses that are phased in over a five-year period, but then those are also offset by gains. In recent years, the board had approved contracts for our employees also. And so since retirement is a percentage of salaries, there were salary increases in July of this year and then last year. So that would result in an increased cost for our annual required contribution also. So there's nothing here that was, I would say, unanticipated. And then keep in mind, a large percentage of it is not general fund. It's non-general fund funding sources from our enterprise funds or federal and state revenue sources.
Ms. John Moore, I have a comment.
Sure.
Suzanne, you said you don't keep track of that percentage. With respect to well-run cities and counties, say the top 10 percent, those people, what percentage are they paying versus what we're paying? In other words, throwing out cities like Chicago that are notoriously, you know, overrun with their pensions, where do we fall on the scheme? I'm sure that information is available.
Well, this is Suzanne Lester. I know that I don't have that information at our fingertips. Probably if we did a comparison, I think we would compare to our peers, California counties, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle, but we often do comparisons to our peer California counties,
right.
But I do not have that information.
No,
this
I don't.
Sherry Frieden. Go ahead, Michelle.
No, go ahead, Sherry.
I was going to say a couple of things. A lot of other states don't have, they don't make their RMD, their required minimum payment. So they don't make that actuarial payment, and certainly Chicago may be one of those. I don't know. In California, it is very, very common for pension plans to take advantage of the discount that is being offered. A lot of cities, other counties take advantage of those discounts that are offered. And again, it's really based on your salary total that you get the discount on. So it would vary, because it would depend on how much your salaries are. And then it's basically whatever that discount rate is from that. So I think it's not so much the salaries as part of the total budget is going to be maybe different from some of the counties, but it really is based on that salary number. is how you come up with the amount you have to borrow, because that's the basis for the calculation. But I can tell you on a general basis that it is very common for agencies here in California to offer these prepayment options and to have most, if not all of them, take advantage of the prepayment option. So if that gives you some general feeling, but there are other states that do have, as I say, some don't even make their actuarial required minimum contributions. So it is very different.
I was really trying to get a feel for what the percentage of our pensions are in relation to our total budget.
It's 7.3%.
Right, and I guess the question...
Of the total budget.
Yeah, this is Tom.
The unfunded amount?
No, the total. Our total annual required contribution, so I'm back looking at the total annual required contribution, the $575 million or whatever it ends up being, that's 7.3% of our total budget. But Sherry makes a good point that doing the, I was saying, apples-to-apples comparison to other government entities, it would be potentially difficult because it depends on what their budget numbers look like, what their total budget is, and what that consists of, if they've got one-time capital in their budget, large projects, or not that year. So it will vary.
Well, this is Tom Hammond again. I guess the question is that if we, as a rule of thumb, we pay it between 7 and 8% of our budget each year on pensions, is that satisfactory, or is it worrisome, or are we right in the middle of the pack? I think that's kind of the question that everybody's asking. And
exactly.
So
this is Michelle. I am not concerned by it. I think what we're discussing today is the pension prepayment with the discount, which allows us to pay less, which is a good thing, which then makes either funds available to do something else, or especially looking at 21-22, with the impacts of COVID-19 on the county and the revenue losses associated with that. The county is challenged, I would say, this year, 2021, and then also potentially in 21-22, if we don't have a revenue loss recovery, especially in the area of sales tax, and then some growth. So the county is very appreciative of OSER's board for approving the increase from 4.5 to 5.8%. And then just the ability to do the pension prepayment at all definitely benefits the county.
Go ahead, Tom.
I'm sorry. This is Tom Hammond again. I have one last question, if I may. Sherry, every year we ask you this, on this same issue, when your department, the Treasury, buys these bonds, would you explain the mechanism and the procedure you use to make sure that this is a fair deal for both the pensioners of Orange County as well as the county itself?
Yes, thank you, through the chair, Mr. Hammond. Essentially, my responsibility is to invest the public funds. I'm a fiduciary, so my responsibility is for those public funds that I'm investing, making sure that we have the safety, liquidity, and also are earning a market rate yield on those. So every investment that we purchase, we do our due diligence on them. Because of government code, there are limited investments. They're all fixed income investments. There are some that have additional credit risk. There are others that are like the U.S. Treasuries that really have no credit risk, because that is the standard that it's based on. Do not buy a lot of municipal bonds. It does have a significant due diligence requirement, because you really have to be tracking those agencies very closely. But in this case, we know the County of Orange very well, so we have done our due diligence on it and have determined that we believe it's a credit that we could buy and feel completely comfortable that they meet all of our objectives. In addition, what we do is we look at what those market rates are for those municipals that would be similar to this if it was in the market and rated. And so we would look at that pricing for those. Ms. Lester can also explain from their side. They do something very similar. Basically, we come up with an offer and we talk about it, And then if it's accepted or if there is a counteroffer, we would then negotiate, because we are, in this case, it's a private placement, so we have that ability to negotiate. But I can tell you that for us, because we don't buy a lot of municipal bonds, in fact, this is the only one, you're going to have a higher spread off of a treasury than it is going to be for a GSE, a government-sponsored enterprise. And so for us, it adds value to our portfolio. It does have less liquidity, so we do want to make sure that we don't have a need for those funds, because we would be buying the $543 million and holding it for that 18-month period. Basically, they mature off through the period. So we do our due diligence. We look at our market pricing, and then I can turn it over to Ms. Lester to explain a little bit on their side. But we believe it is an appropriate investment. It saves the county a significant amount. It does add for our economies of scale. Basically, we're basically purchasing it, and there are costs to cover the general government, the investment expenses that it covers. So it does help us, which actually helps the county, because that reduces their expenses to the county. So it is a good instrument for us to consider buying every year.
And this is Suzanne Lester, Public Finance Director, and the county engages with a municipal advisor. In this case, we're requesting Fieldman Rolapp, who assists the county and the treasurer in structuring the transaction. But then Fieldman Rolapp will do a market analysis and find comparable transactions as we approach the pricing date. The treasurer and the county will agree in advance on a pricing date, and we will negotiate a credit spread off of a treasury. And on the day of pricing, since we negotiate and agree in advance, everybody looks at their Bloomberg screens on the day of pricing, and then the pricing is documented, and the municipal advisor will prepare a fair pricing certification memo and to certify the arm's length transaction.
Thank you, Ms. Chai. That's all I have.
Okay, great. I just had a couple questions, and this might be just my own edification. I noticed that this prepay program was in effect for the years 2006, 2007, and then 2011 through 2020. For the years that there is a gap from 2008 to 2010, was that program just not offered because of the economic state that we were in and it was just not available?
This is Suzanne Lester. And I was around and in the CEO's office at that time, not in the public finance director position. I was the accounting manager, but just from my observation from that vantage point at that time, a few things were going on. We had the Great Recession. The county also had its longtime public finance director retire during that period of time, and there was a vacancy in that position for at least a year. And then I also recall at that time there was some discussion about the county being able to claim. Not being able to claim interest expenses, but it had to do with the county's claiming for state and federal sources. So the program was put on pause for a little bit, but since 2011, it's been resumed and it's been seen as a benefit. It has been a big benefit to the county.
Okay, and then my next question was in regards to the contracts with the municipal advisor firm as well as the bond council, ORIC. Do we have copies of those contracts with those respective institutions?
Yes, this is Suzanne Lester. Yes, we do.
May we see that?
Yes. I can provide the committee members with a copy of those contracts.
And generally, those contract terms are for how many years? Is it just from year to year, or is there a set fixed term?
We did an RFP in 2018 and took those contracts. Well, we came first to PFAC for recommendation and went to the board in 2018 for a three-year contract with the ability to do 2 one-year extensions beyond that.
I see. And that's the general term for each of these contracts?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
So Chairman,
yes.
Chairman Minchai, this is Carlos Carney. When you have a minute, can PFAC, I ask a few questions?
I'm sorry. PFAC set up a screening where we interviewed the whole list of various people from both the bond council and the other, and that's how they got onto the list. We did some real diligence on it.
Right. Right. I remember that conversation. I just wanted to know if we could actually see the contract and to look at the term of those contracts. Okay, and I think there was a comment by... Yeah.
Carlos Carney would like to ask a few
Carlos?
Questions about
yes.
the information that was provided, and I'm referring specifically to the PFAC Agenda Item 3 documents, so if the rest of you would like to look at it as well. In particular, I'm looking at page 2, and there's a nice prior year's... illustration of how this program is performed. I just want to make sure I understand the descriptions. So the net budget savings, the second column of numbers, I assume that's the gross discount less issuance and interest cost is what that would be. Okay.
This is Suzanne Lester. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. And the last column, the true interest cost, is that the bond yield to the purchaser?
That's the yield less cost of issuance.
Okay, so that's the net yield to us, to the county?
Yes.
Got it. So as an example, the 2021 program, the gross discount was 4.5%, and the net payout was 1.8%. So the difference is what constitutes that. I think I read in here somewhere $14 million net.
That's correct.
Okay. Do we have a guess? I mean, the discussion about, because I also sit, I chair the City of Irvine Investment Advisory Committee, and I know how low the rates are and how low they're going to be for yeah. quite a long time. So the comment that was made about a 5.8% discount in that environment is quite substantial. However, it's very substantial or a little bit substantial based on comparison to what we actually pay out. So do we have an estimate? I know there's still negotiation that has to take place and all that once everything is gathered together of what the bond yield is going to be on the investor side?
This is Suzanne Lester. We asked Fieldman Rolapp just to do a market estimate so we could come up with that gross savings and net savings estimate that's in the narrative of $32 million and then $22.5 million. And Fieldman Rolapp used an interest rate of about 2%.
And those the term is pretty much going to be from... you know, up to 18 months, basically.
Correct. Based upon last year's maturity schedule in the last couple of years, it's about 16 months.
Okay. Just a couple of other things. There was a brief comment or reference earlier about the impact of COVID-19, and my wife is a school teacher, so she's at a school district, and there's been a lot of early retirements as a result of teachers just being towards, you know, retirement age and not wanting to have to deal with all this stuff. So is there any indication that that's going to have any impact in terms of, for instance, the employment levels? And because we pay off these bonds with collections on payroll taxes, right? So I should say payroll insurance, retirement related to payroll. So is there any concern there?
So this is Suzanne Lester, and so just to clarify, the pension bonds are for the employer contribution. So it's not no deductions from employee payroll, but
general funds.
Employment levels definitely have an impact, and that's why at the end of the year there's a true up to OSERS on, you know, if we have employee numbers drop during the year, we may not owe as much by the end of the year. And in fact, the county is offering an early retirement incentive. It's a program that's in phases. If employees terminate or retire, the first phase ended, I believe, August 13th. The second phase is in September, and there's less of incentive. Another in October with a little bit less incentive, and about 500 employees have already taken advantage of that program, and the county has estimated about a $43 million savings through that program.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. My final comment, actually, or Carlos, request
I just want,
is...
Carlos, is John Moore.
Yeah, John.
I just want to clarify what you said. These true interest rates are paid by the general fund, not the employees.
Okay. So the last request I had was in respect, because we had some discussion about the status, current status of the OSERS pension fund, and I'm looking at something that was distributed, I think the first of these I attended back in December, and it shows 72.43% of was funded of the pension liability. I think this is a good source of information for the committee, so if this can be updated and distributed for the current status, because this is as of 2018, and we know what happened at the end of 2018 from an investment standpoint. And same thing with the fund performance. So that's a request that if that can be provided to the committee, I think that would be helpful. That's it, Chairman, Chairwoman Chai. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And do we know what you're referencing in terms of what you're requesting to be updated?
Yes, this is, I'm looking at the hard copy. This is the OSERS by numbers, which is the first is the fund performance, and it is it's a one page. It's just like if you had a mutual fund, and it said how you did over 3, 5, 10 years, and then by year, and what the assumed rate is, and the true return, which, again, from my standpoint, is hugely informational and useful. And the second is the actual fund status, which has rows going back to 1986 up to 2018, and it shows the value of the assets, the value, the liability, the unfunded, and the ratio of unfunded. So I think I think it speaks to some of the discussion we had earlier about the kind of the health of the pension fund.
Sure.
From a funding standpoint.
Sure.
And this is Suzanne Lester. I think I provided that to you when we met, right when you joined. And I have provided that a couple of times to the committee members. But that's an annual publication of the retirement system. And I will provide the committee members with the update of that publication.
Perfect. Thank you, Suzanne. Okay. Do we have any other comments or questions?
Tom Hammond, I have one brief questions. Suzanne, does this deal require that court validation process? Is this the deal that requires that?
Yes.
This is Suzanne Lester. So the structure, the indenture of trust was validated for the first transaction back in 2007. And we rely on that validation.
Oh, so we don't have to go back every year to do that?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. That's what I need.
Tom, I requested that document from the court, and it was provided, and that's what we base it on.
Good. Thanks, John.
Okay, great. So if there's no more other comments or questions, do we have a motion to recommend to the board?
This is Tom Hammond. I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
I'll second it. It's John Moore.
All right. Thank you, John. So with that, we'll take the vote. So, Christine, can you please call out the name?
Chairwoman Chai, can we just have a quick discussion for my edification? So the motion and the second is specifically in concept, because the actual documentation needs to be papered up in time for the December.
That is correct.
So we're not locked in terms of the transaction itself.
This is Suzanne Lester. That's correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
So we have the motion and the second. So, Christine, and I'll say aye.
Okay. Tom Hammond?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
And Wallace Rodecker?
Aye.
Thank you.
Perfect. So the motion is approved. And our last agenda item is the public finance status report, which I believe Suzanne will provide.
Yes, thank you, Chairwoman. This is Suzanne Lester, Public Finance Director. I provided a written status report on the results of the sale of the CFD 2017-1 Improvement Area 2 bonds, which your committee recommended to the board in July, and the Board of Supervisors approved that bond sale. And you can see that we got a very, very favorable interest rate of 3.31% when those bonds were priced back in August. And just for a little bit of context, when we sold the 2017-1 Improvement Area 1 bonds back in January of 2018, the interest rate was 4.15%. So I remember the week that we sold these bonds back in August, just the week prior to the bond sale, the market went about 10 basis points in our favor just the week prior. So we were very fortunate for the market timing on that deal.
Yeah.
And then I just, it's not in the report, but I just wanted to report to the committee that last month, Michelle Aguirre, our chief financial officer, Lisa Bohan Johnson, our county budget director, and myself met with Fitch Credit Rating Agency. And I'm happy to report that on August 27th, Fitch reaffirmed the county's AAA rating. So we're very proud of
that. That's great.
That
is great. Mm-hmm.
And that concludes my report.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Suzanne. Do we have any questions for Suzanne or comments?
Yeah, this is Carlos Carney again. Did we skip over an affirmative recommendation in terms of the advisors?
I think that was part of the motion. It was included.
That was included in the motion?
This is Suzanne Lester. That is my understanding.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Okay. So do we have any comments or questions on the status report just provided by Suzanne? There being none, do we have a motion to receive and file?
Carlos Carney, so moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Tom Hammond.
Great. Thank you. So do we have to take a vote on this as well, Suzanne, to receive and file?
I don't believe we need a vote to receive and file.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and just receive that. And with that being the last item on the agenda, we will adjourn our meeting until our next meeting, which is scheduled for December 3rd. Do you anticipate having any items then?
This is Suzanne Lester. If I might just interject, and I will just note that we have no members of the public present. So,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
I do not see any members of the public wishing to speak.
Great. Thank you, Suzanne. And John?
Yes, I just wanted to confirm with Suzanne Lester that she's going to continue to put that link in for these minutes going forward.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay, so there being no members of the public, we will adjourn the meeting till December 3rd. Thank you, everybody, and stay well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To the consultant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.